So I hope that dear Baptist pastor will not only come, but bring his congregation. Not a Pentecostal church, but that's okay. God is in the business of making any kind of a church that will obey the truth a Pentecostal church. Anybody believe that but me? I just believe in this old Pentecostal power. I don't want any other thing but this life. So go with me now this morning to the book of St. John, chapter 3. I want to preach a message that I feel really excited about, the mighty gospel to save. The mighty gospel to save. Every minister must, at intervals of time, as the Holy Ghost leads him, stop whatever he's preaching and go back and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go back and preach the message that saves. How many want always to hear the message that saves? Could I see your hand? The message that saves. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the mighty gospel to save. The mighty gospel to save. I read from St. John chapter 3, and I shall begin with verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you can read that so many times you don't hear the words, and you got to be careful with that. Let's read it again and hear the words. For God so loved the world. That's a sermon all by itself. That he gave his only begotten Son. That's another sermon. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now, brother, there's no sermon more important than that one. Should not perish. But have everlasting life. There are four powerful sermons in that verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. What a message. What a message. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't send his Son to go around condemning everybody. He didn't send his Son go around laying his finger on everybody's nose. He didn't send his Son going around and condemning everybody to hell. He didn't send his Son just to put people down, just to tell them what rascals and what dogs they were. He sent his Son to save. He sent his Son to save. Are you listening to me? He sent his Son to save. Oh, I love that verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Self-righteous people get in a mode of condemnation. And if they don't be careful, their message becomes more condemning than it becomes saving. And when that happens, they've missed it. When that happens, they've missed it. I'm here to tell you, I'm not up here to condemn you. I'm up here to tell you that Jesus wants you saved. He wants you saved. He wants you saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, I tell you, that'll make you shake. And men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil, because they live wicked, because they are ungodly. That's why they love darkness. They want to hide. They don't want nobody knowing what they do. You see, if you are afraid for the people in the world to know what you're doing, what's wrong in your life, then you're living in darkness. When you really come to the light, you don't care who knows what a rascal you've been before you were saved. You don't care if people know you got to repent and you've had to make some things right. When you really get right with God, you don't mind that. I want you to know right now, if you'd come in this church some morning, and I didn't know you was in here, and I was down here at this altar praying, and I was crying out to God, you'd think I'd been off the night before killing somebody and robbing banks. You would, because I get on my face and I go to repenting, brother. I go to telling God what a devil I'd be if it wasn't for him. I go to tell him what a rat I'd be if it wasn't for the grace of God. I mean, I'm here to tell you, I'm not saved by my goodness. I'm not saved because I'm worth a nickel, Brother Ed. I'm saved because he took my place on Calvary. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. Do you hear me this morning? I'm saved because he took my place on Calvary. He died in my stead, and I love it. I want to read verse 19 again, and this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I want you to hear this statement that the Holy Ghost spoke to me this morning. Those that love darkness have signed their death warrant. Those that love darkness have signed their death warrant. You go out there anywhere in the world and you find the dark things that people are doing. You find the heathenistic things that people are doing. You find the dirty music that people are listening to. You find the rock and roll stuff that people have got caught up in. You find all of this crazy music. I was mentioning to somebody about a friend coming back to church, and she said, well, she wants a church that is that the main emphasis is music or something like that. I'm not saying it exactly like she said it. She wants a church that's into music, that's really big on music. Well, I love good music. I can tell you that right now. But I'm into the gospel. How about you? I'm into the gospel. Pray for that dear lady. She's a dear heart. And who knows? God may just deliver her from that. But I want to preach this morning on the mighty gospel to save. The mighty gospel to save. Help me, Father. This man is helpless until you help him. What a disappointment I can be when the Spirit of God doesn't come with anointing upon me. And I claim that anointing this morning in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I hope nobody has to miss a word. I'm preaching the mighty gospel to save. The mighty gospel to save. Isn't it thrilling to know that there is a message that God has ordained and supplied to humankind that knows no limitation when it comes to changing the lives of men and women? There is no person except the man or woman who has blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Blasphemed the Holy Ghost. There's no person but that one group. I trust it's a small group, but I don't know that. We live in such a day of blasphemy. It may be bigger than I have any idea of. Because people are just blaspheming God today. There's even programs on TV and there's places on television where they'll pay you to blaspheme the Holy Ghost online. They'll pay you to send them a video of you blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Of you blaspheming God. Of you saying blasphemous things. Well, we live in a day that blasphemy is a big thing. And that's the only group, only. And not the Father. You can blaspheme the Father and get forgiveness, and I don't recommend it. You can blaspheme the Son and get forgiveness, and I sure don't recommend that. But you can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost and get forgiveness. When you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you will never get forgiveness, not in this world, nor in the world to come. And that's what the Bible says. And there are some that are teaching, if you take the mark of the beast after the rapture, you can get forgiveness for taking the mark of the beast. Well, they are confusing the Bible. In fact, they are misinterpreting the Bible. And the Bible says a man that does that, his name is removed out of the book of life. Did you know that if you change the Bible, you either remove it or add to it, that the Bible actually says he'll remove your name out of the book of life for taking his word and taking part of it out, and he'll add the plagues of Revelation to those who add to his Bible. So may I suggest you don't mess with the Bible when it comes to changing it. That's why we teach the King James Version is the best version, because we believe it's infallible. We believe it's absolutely true. And we have much documentation to back that up. Now, let's talk about this message this morning and see if I can preach to you in a manner that you'll never forget. Number one, I want to talk about, for God so loved the world. I think the love of God has got to be the greatest truth in the Bible. I think the love of God, you see, if without the love of God, even Jesus could not have come. The Father, it was His will to send the Son. It was His will, the Father's will, to send the Son. So the love of God is one of the, and the most wonderful. It's majestic, really. It is so overwhelming until there is no English word big enough and great enough to describe the love of God. How rich and pure. How measureless and strong. It will forevermore endure. It knows no end. It knows no failure. If you should write the love, if you should take the ocean and make it nothing but ink, and take the scrolls of the world and write the love of God in them until the ocean was dry, the song says, you would still not be beyond the love of God. The love of God is wonderful. I said, the love of God is wonderful. How many of you know God actually loves you? You know that God actually loves you, and that God actually cares about you, and that God has mercy toward you, and God has favor toward you, and God wills the best for you that is possible for you to receive. The love of God is a marvelous and a wonderful, wonderful reality. Now, think about this. God is eternal. And God has existed for eternity. There is no beginning or point in which God became God. He has always been God. He is forever God. He has no beginning and He has no ending. His Son is equally God. And His Son has no beginning and no ending. And the Father and the Son had spent eternity together as Father and Son, along with the wonderful person of the Holy Ghost. So the eternity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost has to be without question when you believe the Bible. But somewhere in that great span of time, probably before creation, maybe after, no, I believe it says before creation, God the Father determined to give His Son as a sacrifice to save a world that had gone astray, that had gone away from His love and mercy, so that God, in eternity, somewhere in the great halls of His justice, God decided the only way to save a world gone astray was that He send His Son. And God willingly gave His Son. God willingly gave His Son. Now, I don't know how much you love your children. I know how much I love mine. I don't know how much you love your grandchildren, but I know how much I love mine. And I want you to know something. The love of a father or a mother for their children is one of the most wonderful things on the face of this earth. A daddy that really has love for his family will do anything he needs to do for his family, including dying without a word of question if it became necessary because of his love for his wife or his sons or his daughters. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But we've got to understand the sacrifice that God made when He decided to give His Son as a sacrifice for sin. Now, all you got to do is read your Bible to know how much God hates sin. When you go all the way back past Noah's day, when Noah was called of God, God was so sick of His creation that the Bible said God repented that He had made man. Did you know that God repented because He had created Adam and Eve? Did you know that? Did you know that God had looked upon His world about 1,700 years after the Garden of Eden experience? And God was absolutely heartbroken. And the Bible said He repented. He said, I'm sorry that I made man. I'm sorry that I created this rebellious and stubborn and bullheaded bunch of people. I'm sorry for it. And God was sorry that he had made man, but Adam, I'm sorry, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God began to lay a plan, which the plan actually goes back to the garden. But God began to lay a plan in an even greater expression when he gave to Noah the pattern to build the ark. Did you know the ark was a type of Christ? Did you know that? Did you know the ark was a type of deliverance from the judgment to come? Did you know the ark absolutely had within it the beauty of God's love for mankind and the mercy that Noah found in the eyes of God gave God the idea of him building an ark for the saving? And go to the very story and you'll find when God called Noah to the ark, he called and said, come into the ark. And the Bible says God shut the door. It was God's ark. It was a type of the redemption. It was a type of the Christ, a type of the escape from the great day of judgment that we are looking forward to. Because God in his love, God in his majesty. Woo, oh, what a God we serve. What a God of love. What a God of love. And let me tell you something. If you do not care about sinners that are going to hell, if lost sinners are of no concern to you, I'm not sure you ought to claim yourself a Christian. How can a Christian who serves the Lord God Jehovah, who gave his only begotten son to redeem us, how can we have no concern for a wicked world that's going to hell? Every time you see a sinner who's on his way to judgment, don't you say ugly things, and don't you get mean, and don't you get belligerent, and don't you start looking down your nose as though you're some kind of holy character from somewhere. You just remember, God so loved that man or woman, that boy or girl, that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Sometimes when I'm preaching something like this, I worry about me. Because I want to say it in terms that you can't ever forget it. I want to tell you about God's love so carefully and so strongly and so understandably that you will never forget the love of God, that somehow the love of God arrests you, that somehow the love of God takes hold of you, that somehow the love of God sets you so free from the old man and sets you so free from your life in sin that you want nothing but the love of God in your life. Oh, what God, what a God. What a God, what love, what heavenly love that God would look upon the rot of humankind and give his only begotten son. He didn't have two sons to choose from. He only had one. He only had one. And it was an only begotten son. And they'd never been separated as those two fingers are against one another. So had they for eternity acted and wrought together the great kingdom of the heavens. And it was all the Father and the Son that loved one another, that were joined together in great fellowship. Hallelujah. But on that cross when Jesus was dying, the Bible says the Father looked away. The Father could, the Son said it. He said, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, let me tell you, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Would you repeat that with me? For God, I don't hear you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's the greatest truth I could ever preach to you. Please hear me. For God so loved you. Put your finger there and remember who you is. That's me. That's you. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten son. That God looked on our sins in advance, of course. God saw the attitude, the direction, the way humankind was going. He saw all the things going on the farm life where I was raised to be a little farm boy with dirty language and dirty deeds, but God in his grace gave his only begotten son. He wanted to save a Joe. He wanted to save a Marlon. He wanted to save an Aaron. He wanted to save a Eddie. He wanted to save a Doris. He wanted to save an Onita. He wanted to save a Marilyn. He wanted to save you, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You ought to thank him for 1,000 years when you get to heaven. Just spend it praising God because he gave his son for you. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, nothing in the Bible is so filled with drama and mystery. And you know, and it's just kind of breathtaking to think that as God prepared to give his son, and his son was an eternal part of himself. His son was God just like the father was God. The son knew nothing of sin because sin had never passed over his person, his being. And yet God wanted to give his son because there was no other hope. There was no other way out. Nobody else had the kinship with the father to become the redeemer. It had to be somebody of first of kin with the father. And the only first of kin there was Jesus. And so the Father had to send his son into our world. And look at the plan. And look at the beauty of it. The Holy Ghost go into a little virtuous Jewish girl in the city of Nazareth. And appearing to her and saying to her, God's chosen you. You found favor with God. And you're going to give birth to a son. And he's going to be the savior of the world. And she cries out, that is not possible. How can that be? I don't know a man. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. And that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son. I want to tell you something, friend. You and I have heard that story enough that it's kindly natural to us. We believe it with all of our heart. We know it's true. We know it's a reality in the Bible until we almost forget how absolutely breathtaking that is. We forget what an event that was. That God up in heaven, far removed from his sinful earth, would send his son and come to be born of a little virtuous virgin girl. Hallelujah. And it would be conceived of the Holy Ghost. And he would be born in a stable in the city of Bethlehem. And you just walk through the story. And it's just fraught with the beauty and the majesty and the marvel of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. There's not a one of you that could be anything but a sinner on your way to hell, was it not for that birth of that son Jesus. There's not a one of you that could change the spots on your conscience, that could change the guilt in your heart, that could change the failure in your life. There's not a one of you that could lift yourself up by your bootstrings and make something meaningful out of your life. There's not a one of us. Where would I be had it not been for Christ? There I was, a cursing, swearing, thieving, lying little kid on a tobacco farm down in Bushy Falk community near Roxbury, North Carolina. There I was going to hell as truly and surely as a person could be going to hell. And the grace of God comes sweeping by and arrests me. And I'm saved. Now think about yourself. Where would you be, Allen Church? Where would you be, Brother Johnson? Where would you be, saints of God? But Jesus gave himself to save you. Came from heaven down to earth. Came out of the realm of the divine into the realm of the human. Didn't divest himself of his divinity. but took on, in conjunction with his divinity, humanity. Anybody get the thrill of this? You say, Brother Chambers, you preach the... Yes, and I'm going to keep preaching them. As long as I live, I'm going to take time when I'm just going to talk about these majestic things that are so breathtaking, and they're so wonderful. They're so mighty to save. They're so mighty to change. Hallelujah. You know what America needs? America needs the gospel of Jesus Christ heralded with loud, loud, unquestionable terms until every man from the White House to every part of America can know the truth of the gospel that Jesus saves and that he came to save. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hand and tell him how much you love him. I love you, Jesus. Oh, Joe Chambers was such a little rascal. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing me, Lord. Thank you for making a new person out of me, Lord. Don't let anybody sit in this building and reject Jesus Christ. If you've turned from him, it's time to turn back to him. If you've never been saved, it's time to be saved. If you're claiming to be saved and you're living in sin, you need to repent of your sins and come to the Christ that will break the power of sin and set you free from sin. Hallelujah. Anybody tells me you can only be a saved sinner, you can never get saved enough to quit sinning, they don't understand what happened on that cross. I'm here to tell you. They don't understand what that shed blood did when Jesus was bleeding on that cross, Brother Allen. He was dying to set you free from the power of sin. Sin has no more power when Jesus' blood is trusted and believed and depended upon. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish. Have you thought about what it means to perish? Oh, you say, that means I spend a year or two in some incarceration. Or that means maybe this happens. Let me tell you something. We do not understand the truth about eternal hell. If you could look over the bowels into the lake of fire and see and hear the screams and the yells and the torments rolling up out of that horrible place. If you could just for 1 minute hear the rich man as he cried out, I am tormented in these flames. If you could understand the word perish means more than to lose all your money. It means more than to become sick in the hospital. It means more than to lose your job. It means more than any of the great catastrophes that we see all around us every day. I want to tell you something. Perish, in the term that he's using here, means to go to hell for eternity. It's a horrible possibility. But Jesus came to save you from perishing. Hallelujah. That's why he came. He didn't come just to make you a better girl, a better boy, a better man, a better woman. He come to save you from hell. Do you understand? He come to save you from the lake of fire. He come to set you free from where you're going to spend the rest of your eternity. I want to tell you something, friend. He came for a reason that's really wonderful. Glory. He saw Joe Chambers. Put your name in there. He saw Marlon Clark. Marlon, you were so lost when you got saved. It was terrible. It really was. How about you? Anybody else willing to admit you was a terrible sinner? How many willing to admit you were a terrible sinner? You were a terrible sinner. You say, I wasn't so bad. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you were bad. You just didn't realize how bad you were. You see, when you aren't living for Jesus, you're bad whether or not you rob banks or whether you don't. You're bad when you don't live for Jesus because you left to yourself. You left to yourself is a helpless creature. I'm here to tell you. Anybody hearing my voice, if you're left to yourself, there is no hope for you and you will perish. But Jesus came that you don't have to perish. Hallelujah. Jesus came to save you from eternal judgment. Jesus came to save you from spending eternity in a lake of fire. Jesus came to save you from destroying yourself with drugs and alcohol and cursing and swearing and lying and cheating. Jesus came to save you from everything bad and everything ugly. He came because he loves you. He didn't condemn you. He came to save you. He didn't put you down. He came to lift you up. He didn't throw you overboard. He came to reach out there and pull you back on board. Hallelujah. He came for your good. Do you understand that? Oh, it's wonderful to know. I love those words when he said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. I see preachers all the time that are so full of condemnation. They so self-righteous. Bless your little sweetheart. If you could just be as good as me is kind of how they act. If you could just be as righteous as I am. Oh, I get amazed at that. Self-righteousness is one thing that cannot repent before God. The only way you can repent before God if you're self-righteous is get over being self-righteous. Because I'm here to tell you, in your own righteousness, you are still as lost as a duck is. You're still helpless. You got to have salvation, and it's all beyond you. It's bigger than you. He came not to condemn you. I love the story. These Jews were something else in Jesus' day. Man, they were some hypocrites, Pharisees we call them. They were really something else. And they were out one day looking for somebody who was a sinner. They went around looking for sinners. And they found this woman. I kind of suspect she was up an alley behind a garbage can having sex with some man who had given her 5 pesos or whatever. What kind of money did they have back in that day? Whatever it was. I'm not very good with it this morning, Brother Aaron. But she was committing adultery or fornication. And they grabbed her and said, we'll take you. We got just what we need to show up this Jesus. Oh, boy, we got what we need to show people what this Jesus really is. So they drag this fornicating woman. I would imagine she didn't have much clothes on. I would imagine they grabbed her without allowing her to put her clothes back on. I just kind of imagine now. I'm just using my little imagination. That's 1 Job chapter 3, verse 7, okay? And they drug her to where Jesus was. And they must have threw her down in his presence and said, we found her. We found her up such alley having sex. She was really doing evil. And we brought her to see what you'd say to her. Well, Jesus looked at that old hag. I would suppose she looked like a hag. He looked at that old hag. And I'm not using that derogatory, okay? I'm using that to kind of describe. And Jesus knelt down and began to write on the ground. And they got all upset and excited, and they finally got him to answer. And he said, he who hath no sin, let him cast the first stone. And those Pharisees began to think about themselves. This one guy had just cheated a man out of a whole bunch of money. This other guy had just bought some property for a much cheaper price than the person who sold it, because the person who sold it didn't know nothing about it, and he cheated him. And they had lied, and there were some had been unfaithful to their wives. I mean, this was a bunch of, really, they were Pharisaical rascals. And he said, he that hath no sin, let him cast the first stone. And there's one good thing about that story. They knew that Jesus knew what their sins was. So they didn't try to lie to him. And they didn't try to put on. Now think about that now. That Jesus knew them so good, they didn't dare try to get around to think about it. They just left. I mean, they left. And when Jesus raised his head back up, there was nobody there. And she said, where are those thine accusers? And she said, Lord, I have none. And Jesus said to this woman, caught in this terrible act, doing this terrible deed, he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Oh, Christ, somebody took you. How many of you remember when he did that for you? Come on, how many remember when he did that for you? I mean, I remember when suddenly in his presence, hallelujah, sorry, somebody in this building, he brought you to save you this morning. Somebody brought you to save you. You played around with him long enough. It's time to surrender to him. Listen, he said to that woman, go and sin no more. Oh, I want to tell you, that's the Savior who came into the world for you and I. Oh, he could have told her everything she'd ever done. One woman, he said, you've had 4 husbands, and the man you got now is not even your husband. And she went and said, a man told me everything that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We live in a day, you better not tell somebody they're sinners. You make You make an enemy. But the real world of revival, people want to know all about themselves. And if you don't mind people knowing you are a sinner, you can be saved. Many people won't even come to the altar because they don't want to tell the world I'm a sinner. Let me tell you something. I'll come to the altar, and I've been saved 62 years, and I'll do it right in your presence. And I'll tell you without a moment hesitation, this old boy needs the grace of God every day of his life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This old boy needs a touch of heaven every day of his life. Let me tell you, I got a letter some time ago, and they told me what a little dog I was. I mean, they really let me know what I was. And I wrote them back. And I said, you know, you're exactly right. I'm everything you said I was. But I want you to know that man you're talking about is in a cage. That man has been crucified. He's been put in a cage. He's no longer in charge around my house. Oh, hallelujah. Because I've been set free from him. I've been saved. Oh, yeah, he's a rascal, all right. He's everything you say he is, but by the grace of God. How many could say, I'm everything they could say, but by the grace of God? Raise your hand. But by the grace of God. But by the grace of God. He saved me. He made a new creature out of me, Sister Sylvia. He changed everything about me and lifted me out of the gutter of sin and planted me, my feet, on a solid rock. Put a song in my heart, and now I can sing without a tune and praise him because he's so real to me. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That the world through him, somebody robbed my time. I don't know where it went. It's gone. Listen, in closing, listen to me. Oh, it's so beautiful to me. He didn't come to condemn the world, but the world through him might have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. I wanted to preach about men in darkness, but I'll get to that. I'll preach that. But I want to tell you, he came to save you and to give you everlasting life. Not only did he save you from hell, he saved you for his heaven. Can you imagine a God that would send his son to die, to pick you up out of sin, and then to set you on the pathway to his eternal city and his eternal new heaven and new earth, and to give you absolute promise? You just don't know what all he's planning for you. You don't have any idea what he's planning for you. You just don't know what he's planning for you, young believers. You don't know. If I could tell you, oh, I can tell you some of it, but it's a big story. He's planning life for you, breathtakingly beautiful. And it's free. You don't have to buy it. You know, if you get a nice house down here, you got to pay through the nose, as they say. You get a nice car, you got to pay. All kinds of things you got to pay for down here. But he's planning you a mansion, and you don't even have to pay for it. It's all the promise of his reward if you will faithfully serve him. Now this morning, somebody in this building, oh, see, little boy, raise your hand now. Everybody that would. Father, I pray for that person, that individual on the verge of total surrender. And Father, they may get another chance tonight or next week. But we don't know there will be a tonight or next week except in judgment. And this morning, he wants to save you. He wants to save you right where you're sitting right now. And if you got to be courageous. You got to be willing to say, I'm a sinner, but I'm coming to God. I'm a sinner, but I'm coming to God. I've made some messes, but I'm coming to God. I've done things I shouldn't do, but I'm coming to God. I am forgiven. There may be somebody here who has made some mistake in recent months, and you'd like to come and say, this morning, I'm starting my whole life anew. I'm going to do my first works over. I'm going to count for God. I'm going to be everything God wants me to be. You can trust on me to be a servant of God. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please, playing for me softly, sweetly. I need some prayer. I need some people helping me pray. God, I pray for that person that's on my heart right now. That person needs to return. They're in a backslid condition and they need to return. And I pray right now that they will say, this is it. I'm ready. I'm going full steam for God. Jump out and come quickly before the devil can talk you out of it. I'm coming full steam for God. I'm coming totally for God. I've played around long enough. No more playing on my part. I belong to Christ. I belong to the kingdom. I belong to the Savior. I'm coming. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I will be His the rest of my days. I will be the Lord's. How many of you can say, I really need a rededication of all of me to God? Will you step out and come? I need to rededicate, resurrender. Put all of me freshly on the altar. Freshly on the altar. I'm coming. I'm going to be His. Come. I want you to stand if you don't mind, so others can stand around us and pray with us. I'm coming. Somebody's on the verge of coming that really needs to surrender your life to God. You need to be born again. You need to be reclaimed. Oh, you say, I was saved so and so ago. Listen. If you've been away in sin, you need to come back and do your first works, the Bible said. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Hallelujah. God bless these young people. I'm going to be the Lord's. I'm going to be the Lord's, young people. Put your hands in the air and tell Him, I'm going to be yours, Lord, with everything inside of me. I'm going all the way with God. Repent of your sins. Turn from your failures. Turn from your mishaps and mistakes. Misdirections, and turn to Christ. Say, hallelujah. Anybody else will come. I want every mother and dad to come if they would. Every individual. I wish everybody would just come with me. Would you come and stand here at this altar? I'm coming. I want to devote myself to God. There's no more playing around on my part. I'm going to be God's completely and totally and utterly and absolutely. How many can say that? Will you? I'm going to say that. I'm coming. I'm going to be God's utterly and totally and completely and absolutely and forever. Hallelujah. God bless you, dear lady. We prayed for you. You ought to come right down here and be in the middle of this. Lord, I'm coming. I'm giving my all. Sister Ginger, stand there with her if you would. Hallelujah. Father, work a miracle in her life. Work a miracle. Hallelujah. New creature. Totally dedicated to holiness and righteousness. Turning from everything of the world and wickedness. I've got to count for the Lord. Throw your hands up now if you mean business. If you mean business, throw your hands up. If you mean business, I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Supper. Holy supper. I'm Epicoria. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you would say there's something I need to repent about? Would you raise your hand? There's something I need to repent about. Raise your hand. Maybe you've already repented of something, but you repented and you've made it right with God. Now let's pray. Come on together. Father, we cry out together in the name of the Lord at this altar. Father, we cry out together. God, I want to see somebody saved. Thank you for touching the little lady that you've delivered of tobacco. I believe you have delivered her, if she's willing to stay delivered. The old enemy will come back and seek re-entrance, but I believe he's barred at the door if she's committed. And I claim miracles all over this altar. Work your will, God. Work your will, Lord. I'm surrendering. I'm not ashamed any longer. I'm surrendering. I'm giving it all to God. Throw your hand up if you can say that. I'm giving it all to God. God bless you, Joe. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Marley, lead us in prayer with all your heart back there. Will you? In the name of the Lord, I need help. I need help. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's pray together and believe Him together. Would you? Keep playing if you would, Brother Ed.
Dear Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Father, that your love looked down through all the ages and saw every soul that would ever be born. And your love and your compassion moved and stirred you. That you were so willing to give Jesus the only one that could ever save and redeem us, and that he was willing to come and give of himself for us, Father.
Hallelujah.
Not anything of us, Lord, but thy love and thy grace and thy mercy and the obedience of Jesus Christ to save and to redeem, to give himself for us, Father.
Hallelujah.
Help us to realize the responsibility that we have, Father.
Hallelujah.
That when we accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior,
hallelujah,
that we're no longer our own. Father, that you have bought and paid for us, Father. Before the foundation of the world, you have purchased us for yourself, Father. Oh, that you might have us, that we might be thine, a precious jewel for you, Father. And Lord, we owe thee a life of dedication, of surrender, of obedience. And Father, you've given us the Holy Spirit to ensure us, to guide us, to instruct us, to help us, Father. Such love, Lord, we can't even begin to comprehend, Lord. But I pray, Lord, speak to hearts. Let them realize the blessing we have, Lord. What a blessing it is to have salvation. What it is to be able to give ourselves unto you, a living sacrifice. The very privilege of it, Father. Stir every heart, Lord, to come unto obedience and surrender and love you with a love pure and simple and true. For, Lord, you so loved us, and you've given us all things, Father. And your desires are ever usward, Father. If we will but obey and submit and surrender, Father, if we will be honest before you, there's no end to what you can do, Father.
Amen.
But you demand for us to be pure, to be honest, to be truthful, and to give everything we are to you, Father, that everything that you are, you can bestow upon us, that in Christ Jesus, we have all things, Father. We give you that praise and honor. Speak and guide and direct us, Father. Let every heart, every conscience come unto obedience and submission and surrender to thee, Lord, that we might know thee in your love and your grace and your mercy. Oh, God, that the earnest of the Spirit might take a hold of us and we might know beyond any question that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life and that we have a home eternal in the heavens, Father, that we shall one day see thee face to face.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
How many will just look straight this way and say, I belong to Jesus? Slip your hand up and let the world know it. I belong to Jesus. I am his. I am his. I'm his. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My dear lady, I believe you're delivered this morning. I'm believing God. And I want to tell you, it don't matter who you are. God wants to change your life. Tonight, I'm praying. Here's my burden for tonight, an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that dear preacher brother might be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that some of you who have not been filled with the Holy Ghost might be baptized. How many are ready to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Would you slip your hand up? Way up high. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm already filled, but I want to be filled again. Hallelujah. That's one thing about Pentecost. You never quit getting full. Because you just can take more and more and more. And the Holy Ghost is not static, you know. He don't just hang around there while you wait to do something for him. He flows through you like a river. God bless you. I preached a little long. I'm not going to ask you to forgive me. Come back tonight. Don't miss. Please don't miss tonight. God bless you. So I hope that dear Baptist pastor will not only come, but bring his congregation. Not a Pentecostal church, but that's okay. God is in the business of making any kind of a church that will obey the truth a Pentecostal church. Anybody believe that but me? I just believe in this old Pentecostal power. I don't want any other thing but this life. So go with me now this morning to the book of St. John, chapter 3. I want to preach a message that I feel really excited about, the mighty gospel to save. The mighty gospel to save. Every minister must, at intervals of time, as the Holy Ghost leads him, stop whatever he's preaching and go back and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. go back and preach the message that saves. How many want always to hear the message that saves? Could I see your hand? The message that saves. The message that saves. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the mighty gospel to save. The mighty gospel to save. I read from St. John chapter 3, and I shall begin with verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you can read that so many times you don't hear the words, and you got to be careful with that. Let's read it again and hear the words. For God so loved the world. That's a sermon all by itself. That he gave his only begotten Son. That's another sermon. That he gave his only begotten Son. That they should, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now, brother, there's no sermon more important than that one. Should not perish. But have, listen to this, but have everlasting life. There are four powerful sermons in that verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. What a message. What a message. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't send his Son to go around condemning everybody. He didn't send his Son go around laying his finger on everybody's nose. He didn't send his Son going around and condemning everybody to hell. He didn't send his Son just to put people down, just to tell them what rascals and what dogs they were. He sent his Son to save. He sent his Son to save. Are you listening to me? He sent his Son to save. Oh, I love that verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Self-righteous people get in a mode of condemnation. And if they don't be careful, their message becomes more condemning than it becomes saving. And when that happens, they've missed it. When that happens, they've missed it. I'm here to tell you, I'm not up here to condemn you. I'm up here to tell you that Jesus wants you saved. He wants you saved. He wants you saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, I tell you, that'll make you shake. And men love darkness more than light, because their deeds are evil, because they live wicked, because they are ungodly. That's why they love darkness. They want to hide. They don't want nobody knowing what they do. You see, if you are afraid for the people in the world to know what you're doing, what's wrong in your life, then you're living in darkness. When you really come to the light, you don't care who knows what a rascal you've been before you were saved. You don't care if people know you got to repent and you've had to make some things right. When you really get right with God, you don't mind that. I want you to know right now, if you'd come in this church some morning, and I didn't know you was in here, and I was down here at this altar praying, and I was crying out to God, you'd think I had been off the night before killing somebody and robbing banks. You would, because I get on my face and I go to repenting, brother. I go to telling God what a devil I'd be if it wasn't for him. I go to tell him what a rat I'd be if it wasn't for the grace of God. I mean, I'm here to tell you, I'm not saved by my goodness. I'm not saved because I'm worth a nickel, Brother Ed. I'm saved because he took my place on Calvary. Hallelujah. Do you hear me this morning? I'm saved because he took my place on Calvary. He died in my stead, and I love it. I want to read verse 19 again, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I want you to hear this statement that the Holy Ghost spoke to me this morning. Those that love darkness have signed their death warrant. Those that love darkness have signed their death warrant. You go out there anywhere in the world and you find the dark things that people are doing. You find the heathenistic things that people are doing. You find the dirty music that people are listening to. You find the rock and roll stuff that people have got caught up in. You find all of this crazy music. I was mentioning to somebody about a friend coming back to church. And she said, well, she wants a church that is that the main emphasis is music or something like that. I'm not saying it exactly like she said. She wants a church that's into music, that's really big on music. Well, I love good music. I can tell you that right now. But I'm into the gospel. How about you? I'm into the gospel. Pray for that dear lady. She's a dear heart. And who knows? God may just deliver her from that. But I want to preach this morning on the mighty gospel to save. The mighty gospel to save.